The Reality is now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters.
Jesse Willis.
I may not run in traffic, but I'll give you a run for your money.
Rhodey.
When you work in quality assurance, perfection comes easy.
Tori Tuchilo.
When Tori steps on the scene, you are his story.
Eugene Henderson.
In the game of life, I choose Jeopardy.
Maria M.
Where I come from, they sing God Save the Queen. The truth is, it's actually me.
Becca Simon.
If you can't stand the heat, come to Minnesota.
Jill Hirsch.
Your petty drama can't take this warrior down.
Jamie Allrunner.
Some people call me cold, but it's not me. It's that Minnesota weather.
Sarah Gibbs.
You may not like the cut of my jib, but that's what you get from Sarah Gibbs.
Richie D.
If you can't be cool, you can't be with Cadoos.
Megan Shaw.
I may be a model, but I'll never be your model minority.
Samaj Bledsoe.
The fun bus is here, and I'm driving on the Turnpike!
Eleanor Manning.
I run with a fabulous circle of people, and they're not even on my payroll.
Danny McLaughlin.
First, I came out, and now I'm coming for everything.
Kelly Paper.
I may be from down under, but don't ever underestimate me.
Seiran Hayati.
In Sweden, we have ABBA, IKEA, and if you mess with me, some other four-letter words.
Jessica Riley.
Where I come from, money can buy you anything, but I'll take the garbage plate.
Chastity Davis.
Don't be fooled by my name. The only thing I abstain from is your bullshit.
Sarah Watkins Bilstein.
Playtime is over. This mom means business.
Laura Zielinski.
Whether it's breast pumping or fist bumping, this mama brings the party.
Jill Walsh.
I made it up the hill myself, and I'll kick any jack off.
And finally, diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. John Friedman is.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm exhausted.
Oh, well, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, too.
And if you're listening, happy Saturday to you.
Yeah, happy Saturday, everyone. How was your week?
You're really going to need to pump up the energy here. Okay, we're recording content, lady. All right, pep it up. Okay?
I can barely talk.
Pep it up.
How are you? How was your week?
My week was good. I chopped off my hair.
I see that.
Yeah.
You look even more like my sister now.
I do this every few years. I chop off my hair and then I immediately regret it. And then I love it for a little while and then I grow it out. And then when it gets to like the length where it was before, which is like right past my shoulders, I'm like, I hate it. I'm going to cut it again. And then I cut it again.
Yeah, I need to do that too.
You have beautiful hair.
I need to cut it a little shorter. It's a little too long.
You have a beautiful mane.
Maybe I'll get it done this week. I plan to take the week off next week. Mm. I have a lot to get done today, tomorrow, and Sunday to catch up for all the work I missed this past week when I was off doing something else. But I need to do that so I can take the entire week off. That's the plan.
That's the plan. Can you believe this is our 98th episode?
I cannot. It's like two more. I was just thinking it when I was typing. I was like, next week is our 100th episode.
Next week is our 100th episode. And the first week of October, or maybe the second week of October, is going to be our 1 year podiversary.
I know. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe that. Okay. Yeah. I'm still here.
Go ahead, say it. I can't believe I put up with your shit for a year.
No, okay, I can't believe you put up with my shit for a year and kept me on.
All right. Well. Well, today, guys, we're talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills only because there's no other good content on TV right now.
There's nothing else going on. This was good enough. There's a lot that got me upset and worked up.
Worked up. Yep.
Yeah, but that was yesterday or day before. Yesterday. No, 2 days ago. So now I have to relive that. And hopefully I'll feel the same. I feel the same amount of angst and anger that I felt when it was being shown. When it was
obviously scary. Because you're on Dorit's side and you care so much about her feelings, right? That's why you felt angst and anger.
No. Yeah, it is. I'm on the side of, you know, the dogs. Kyle's dogs, like, let them out. They are sick and tired of that purple light in your house. Let them out. They don't want to be in your house.
So the ladies this episode go to their second or third cast trip to Del Mar. It's just been a very sad year of trips here from Beverly. Can you imagine if this wasn't going on with Erica? They would have nothing to do.
Right? I was just thinking that, like, the whole story would have revolved around Dorit and Garcelle.
Yeah, that's it.
And then in the beginning, there was Sutton and Crystal. They would have extended those two storylines. They would have just, like, tugged on it and pulled on it. And it's not, and they are not elastic storylines. So there's not much to be pulled. They cannot be stretched. They can only be stretched so much. The other thing was that during the whole conversation, episode after episode after episode, the women are still trying to do those two storylines. Yes. While there's this major other storyline that they should be focusing on, they try to deflect from it by talking about Garcelle. Picking on Garcelle or picking on Sutton and or Crystal. It's the pick on the new people, and that's the storyline we're going to do.
I really think that they're just really producing really hard, and they're waiting for these, like, big reactions, right? Like, even if you think about Lucy Apple Juice, the reason why they were doing all that was because they wanted the reaction out of LVP.
Yeah.
That same season, they went to, like, I don't know where they went, but they were in, like, a castle, and it was the season where – they went to Germany.
Yeah.
And Erica almost got hit by, like, a bike. Full glam. Anyway, that season and that trip, I remember they were trying to, like, egg Erica on, and Erica didn't take the bait because they want to get a reaction out of them.
Yeah.
And I think with Crystal and Sutton, they loved that fight and they kept bringing it up and they kept making jokes and jabs because Sutton reacts. Crystal, one, Crystal is stubborn, so they can't get her to break. But two, she's richer than them, so they're not going to poke at her that much. Even though Sutton is rich as fuck, they see a weak person in Sutton.
So
they pick at her.
Yeah.
With Garcelle, the dynamic with Garcelle that really pissed me off, and we'll get to it, is, I mean, Garcelle says it, but then she says it's not about race, but it is about race.
It is, like, about race.
It is. There is a reaction. There is a feeling that people of color, immigrants, have around these types of situations. But the whole poking and prodding and stretching out the two storylines or whatever, like, this is just what they do. And they wait until you get a reaction out of that person, and then they poke it even more. Like, you'll notice that they grin almost when people have a reaction.
Yeah. It's like
they get happy. Like, thank God.
We are so happy you were able to express that and you're opening up. No, she was opening up before, but you don't recognize that language. You only recognize it if there are hysterics attached to it. And because she's crying, all of a sudden now you have achieved what you wanted from her.
Yeah.
You wanted her to put on the show of vulnerability. And so she was pushed into this corner where she had to do it. And now that you have achieved that, where you have shown her to have some weakness, as you perceive it, now she's acceptable.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't take it that she was strong and did not necessarily show emotions the way you guys did.
Yeah. So let's start off at the top of the episode. Yeah. They are packing and going to Del Mar. Crystal and Kyle are on the phone. They're talking about how awkward it was with Sutton and Erica at Dorit's party. And they said, they didn't say two words to each other. Why is the show pretending like we don't have eyeballs and we don't know how to watch TV? Just the last episode, one of the weirdest things was when Sutton walked in and Erica was at the table and she said, "Oh, hi, pretty. Hi. Let me just slide down over here and make room for you." Like, Erica was being really nice to Sutton.
Yeah.
So this week now, suddenly they're starting the episode off with editing it in such a way that it makes it look like they're in a fight, but they're not.
The eye roll was for something else, and they showed it as if it was
Sutton. Stop it. Yeah. Production, knock it off.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then Kathy gets a call from someone who says that they are Dorit, but I don't know who this woman is on FaceTime.
Yeah. This woman is Dorit's long-lost sister. This is the woman that PK fell in love with and, you know, married before Dorit changed into a whole other person. But that whole scene was so beautiful. Where Kathy asked Dorit a question, how are you doing? And Kathy knows Dorit is going to talk regardless of whether she's listening or not.
Yes.
So she puts Dorit in an angle. She places Dorit in an angle. The camera is faced half on Kathy, half away from Kathy. And Kathy is testing out all her different makeup. She has all her stuff out, all of her junk makeup out. She's like opening things, putting things back on. She's wearing her makeup. She's like, She doesn't say anything other than that. And Dorit just keeps yapping.
Yeah, it's great.
Like,
The ladies drive to Kyle's house to, I guess, drive down together. But Kathy forgets her stuff. And then they have to call somebody at Kathy's home to get the stuff and bring it over. And Kathy keeps calling her the lady. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they were trying to pass this off like one of those like, ha ha, Kathy thinks Garcelle is Kyle. Ha ha, Kathy doesn't mm-hmm. know who Hunky Dory is type of things. But for some reason in this one,
yeah,
it rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
I think because there was a voice associated with it. There yeah. was a person that came and dropped something off.
So because they didn't show that person and they called her the lady and they did all of that, I was thinking of whether it was somebody from production that was assigned to Kathy that did not get everything together for Kathy and they didn't want to show the behind the scenes production person. And Kathy doesn't know this person very well, so she doesn't remember her name. It's not her regular, assistant or whatever. So that's why she keeps saying, that lady from production, the lady from production, you know? That's how I thought that this was somebody that was assigned by the show to Kathy. And that's why they didn't show her face. Because otherwise they would show Kathy's maid, blah, blah, blah. Why wouldn't they do that?
I mean, that's actually, unless that's really, that is possible. But then if it was somebody from production that fucked up, why would they even show that on the show?
Right. Maybe the woman didn't want to be part of it, have any part of it. She didn't want to be part of anything. And so she said, take all references to me out.
Here's the other thing I noticed this episode is that I think that because Sutton is finally being like, I'm not going to keep fighting with Erica. Mm-hmm. And because even the Garcelle and Dorit conversations end really abruptly, I don't think they have as much content as they would have expected because Erica still doesn't say a lot. So right. like this episode, you had this whole like hullabaloo of like trying to get out of Kyle's house. Yeah. And then even them waiting around for Kyle and Kathy to come to dinner. All of that, like, that was like the Beverly Hills shit that we got like subjected to over the last few years over like, we're just waiting.
Yeah.
And so it gave me the sense that maybe there isn't as much content as we think because I think we've run out of lies for Erica to tell. Yeah, I mean, obviously, because this episode she lied again, but.
Yeah. Again, like we said, there's nothing much for the other ladies to talk about anyways. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? There's no storyline here. So they have to wait for Dorit. It has to be a storyline where somebody brings up Garcelle again.
Yeah.
And for Rinna and for Kyle, they have to have Sutton there or Erica there to have a conversation about their tension so they can have, something there. Otherwise, they don't have anything between them. What does Rinna have? What does Kyle have?
Well, also, Erica, also the conversations that Kyle, Rinna, and Zuri have with Erica, which we'll get to. Let's get to that. So I have a thought about that as well, and especially in relation to how the other women are sort of producing on the show. So they all get down there. The hotel is positively creepy. Kathy has prepared something called a pop-up picnic, which I don't understand what
all
that
picnics
is.
Pop-ups? I don't understand what a
that's exactly what I wrote down. I said, aren't all picnics pop-ups?
Yeah.
What?
It's like an oxymoron. Or not even an oxymoron. It's like,
it's redundant. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's silly.
Yeah.
So they are sitting there they're purposely.
It's like chai tea. It's the same damn thing.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. A pop-up picnic is a chai tea of beach time hospitality. So they're sitting there, everybody except for Garcelle and Sutton. And they're purposely working Erica up because they FaceTime Sutton to see how she's doing. But as they're calling her, Kyle looks at Erica and says, sorry, Erica. Yeah. Like, You don't have to say that. You don't have to egg this on. There's nothing going on here.
Right.
And they're the ones that have to keep bringing it up. And they're the ones that keep kind of poking at it. Right. And then Erica says, well, being called a liar is major to me. Well, Erica, the thing is, you are a liar.
Then stop lying.
Yeah. And here's what bothers me about
you
Sutton.
You did. You either lied by saying something completely opposite of what you wanted to say, or you lied by omission. It doesn't matter. You still misled, and therefore you cannot be trusted. That's the crux of it. That's basically what Sutton is saying.
Yeah, you misled people into believing that you were somebody that you're not. And that's, and I think the issue with somebody like Dorit saying that to Erica is that Dorit constantly misleads people into pretending to be somebody that she's not. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she's not going to say those words. But everybody knows that about Erica. And I think everybody admits that about Erica. They're just not going to say it about her.
Right.
While Erica is like going off about being called a liar and she doesn't like what Sutton's doing and don't be two-faced and blah, 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 Dorit and Kyle are just silently sitting there, not owning the fact that they had a great conversation with all these laughs with their husbands who are basically saying that this woman is unreliable.
Right.
They're not owning it. Yeah. They're not being open and honest.
How can they pick on Garcelle and Sutton for asking the same questions that their husbands are asking?
Yep.
How come it's not okay for Garcelle and Sutton to ask those questions, but it's okay for Mauricio and PK to literally not even ask the question, just say that she's lying.
Yep.
And laugh about it. And you laugh. And the women laughed with them.
So Erica retells a story about the accident because they're asking, why was it that Sutton called Erica a liar? And Kyle says, oh, because of the accident. You told us that he had an ankle injury, but it wasn't true. He actually had a brain injury. And Erica says something about he did fall. He did get into an accident, allegedly.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, but they don't ask her, what does that mean?
Exactly.
It's in the interstitial, but they don't ask her directly what they mean. They're like, yeah, but he had head injury or he had ankle injury. And then Erica explains that he apparently lost consciousness. His doctors were going to do his surgery for his ankle, and she stopped them from doing it because she said he has traumatic brain injury and should not be put under anesthesia.
Let me tell you something.
So, are you a doctor now?
One, are you a doctor now? And two, why is Erica acting like old people don't fall and need surgery all the time?
Yeah. And a concussion is not the same as a TBI. TBI has other indications. Concussion can lead to, concussion can be one of the things you get when you do have a TBI, but a concussion is not in and of itself a TBI. So
yeah, I need Tiffany Moon, the resident Bravo anesthesiologist, to really weigh in on this because that doesn't make no sense. Okay. And Erica, don't act like you know better than doctors. But then Erica does double down on threatening Sutton.
She's like, yeah, she should be threatened. And I see in that scene, did you notice that Crystal went, like, she was taken aback?
Yes.
And then Crystal is quiet the rest of the episode.
Truly, I didn't even notice that she was there.
Yeah. She doesn't say a word the whole episode.
I have no idea that she was
wondering
there.
What's going on there. She doesn't support anyone either. She doesn't support Garcelle. When Garcelle is talking about being other and how she feels like she's the only one in the room sometimes, Crystal doesn't jump up and support her. She did in the beginning of the show. And I feel like something happened. The whole Crystal and Sutton thing sort of pushed Crystal to be like, okay, I'm not getting involved in this. Yeah. I don't know why she's not speaking up now, because she did speak up in the beginning.
So then Garcelle gets to the hotel. She also thinks that it's positively creepy. Mm-hmm. Sutton greets her in a wheelchair. She tells Garcelle that the ladies have told her that Erica's door is closed. And she's wondering if that was a real thing or if she should continue to try to help Erica. Mm-hmm. Now, Sutton, don't get roped in by these asshole ladies who are just trying to get you to talk to her.
Yeah.
We finally see that clip of Sutton saying that she had offered Erica some financial assistance.
Right.
So we get what, you know, Sutton was – the nervousness that Sutton had or the anxiety that Sutton had over helping Erica. I understand that now a little bit better. But Sutton is just trying to be like, do I keep poking at it? Do I try to fix it? Or do I just let it be? Because I think Sutton at her core is somebody who can't handle people being mad at her. I mean, that's the reason why she ended up taking a jacket to Crystal's room.
Right.
Like, Sutton doesn't want to have a confrontation with somebody and then just leave it. She can't live with the anxiety of it. She is a little bit like Kyle in that way, where like Kyle needs to constantly talk about it or resolve it or whatever.
Right, right.
So the ladies go to dinner and no reason at all, Erica tells everybody that she's fearful. No one asked.
Yeah.
No one asked. And you just decided to say that.
I thought they were going around saying what they, how their day was or how they felt at that moment or something.
Yeah, but she didn't have to say, I feel fearful.
Yeah, where she is opening up and inviting a conversation. Yeah. She's inviting a conversation and ask questions about why are you fearful. If someone says they're fearful, the next question is why, right?
Yeah, what's going on? Are you okay?
Yeah.
It's so weird. And the thing is, if somebody does ask, or if Garcelle or if Sutton were to ask follow-up questions on that, she would jump on them and start snarling.
Yeah.
But the other women just don't fucking say anything, which is a strange and bizarre thing. Like, that's not a normal reaction to somebody saying, I feel fearful. It was just weird.
Yeah. It's like they are having sidebar conversations outside of the camera and they're repeating it here, and they have it very strictly choreographed as to who says what and what subjects are brought up for discussion.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And when she says she's fearful, Rinna does this like very fake, like hand on her chest, like, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Rinna. Kathy says she's anxious because she feels the tension in the
room.
That
is the fakest person
there is. Oh my God, Serena is so fake. So Kathy says she feels anxious because of the drama in the room.
Yeah.
And Sutton tries to address it again and say, yes, I was wrong for maybe having this conversation separately. Right. I did call a meeting, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But you also hurt me by talking to me that way. And Erica, as usual, just dismisses Sutton.
Says, why are you even talking to me?
Yeah, but while all this is happening, she's like, you know, she goes on again about, you called me a liar. You called me a liar. Don't call me a liar. Don't call me a fucking liar. I'm not a liar. Blah, blah.
Right? Oh my God, that's a perfect Erica voice.
What's it?
That was creepy. You sounded exactly like her.
Oh no. Dorit jumps in Erica's defense and she said, well, today Erica was honest. And it's like,
what do you mean? So she wasn't yesterday? Dorit, what are you saying?
I'm like, what does that mean that she wasn't honest before?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just, I wrote this down and I don't know why, but I think this is the one line that Crystal said. She said, I don't think you are the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, it was when they're keep poking at Sutton. Garcelle has to speak up and say, this isn't helping. You guys aren't helping. How is this helping? You guys keep telling her to tell the truth. She's the only one who keeps talking. And Crystal says, I don't think you are the only one.
Yeah.
When she's talking about Sutton being the only one that goes after Erica, which again, like, Crystal, I don't know what you're trying to do here. And I may have gotten that wrong. I don't know. I wrote this note down for a reason. I guess it was probably because it was the one thing that Crystal said. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now is when Dorit gets super condescending with Garcelle and she's like, you've been in this group long enough. Do you understand? You get it, right? You get it. And even Kathy gets annoyed with Dorit. She's like, bitch.
Yeah. Calm down.
Calm down.
You've talked enough. Enough.
Yes. Is when Garcelle starts to
and
say.
And this is the whole thing was started out with Sutton and Erica. And all of a sudden, they tried to pivot it to the storyline that they want to run, which is Dorit versus Garcelle. They have decided this is going to be the storyline and they're not going to take Erica's storyline and run it as a main story. They didn't expect all of this other stuff to come out so fast in such a short period of time about Erica. So they're still trying to maintain the plan of this is the storyline we are going to have this season. And they still, it's like this awkward juggling that they do, like this pretzel they get into because they want to now start talking about Garcelle.
I almost feel like they poke harder at Sutton because they know that Garcelle is going to speak up.
Yes.
Garcelle has not taken the bait before.
Right.
And I think now she keeps speaking up.
Yeah.
And now every time she speaks up, that's Dorit's chance to pounce on it.
Correct.
For no reason at all.
Yeah. And then she does that because it's like, oh, here we are back on on track. We are back on the storyline that we wanted to do. We are back on track. Let's pick on Garcelle. And then when that happens, one of the things that I keep noticing is that Sutton, even if she is supportive of Garcelle outside of that, in those situations, Sutton usually keeps quiet. Garcelle comes to Sutton's rescue, yep. but Sutton rarely comes to Garcelle's rescue. Have you noticed yep. that? Mm-hmm. So even with the person that Garcelle is closest to in the group, she doesn't feel like she gets the backing.
Exactly. So Garcelle says that she doesn't feel included. Mm-hmm. And this all starts because this is Dorit's thing. She will belabor a point. You'll get mm-hmm. over it in one fight. And the next scene, the next dinner, she has to bring it up again because this is like Dorit's shtick. It's mm-hmm. always been her thing right. since she came on the show. It's very annoying. Right. But Dorit is mad that Garcelle said on a show, oh, the ladies are coming for me and, you know, I'm going to do great or whatever. Like, that is just typical housewives gassing things up, doing press for the season mm-hmm. shit. It doesn't yeah. actually mean anything. So right. I think that these women, when they heard that Garcelle said that, I think they immediately thought to themselves, great, the viewers are going to think that we're racist. Yes. Right?
That's where they're coming from.
That's where they're coming from. But I think the thing is, they're coming from that place because
they are picking on the only black woman on the show.
I think they're coming. Yeah, I think they immediately have that reaction of, oh, the viewers are going to think that we're being terrible to the black lady, because they're not stupid. They yeah. know what happens when you do this shit. And I think that they probably all maybe thought it at some point. But like Kyle says later, I thought it. I just don't verbalize it.
Yeah.
Even though Ms. Open and Honest, don't keep shit inside. If you have a thought about me, just right. say it to my face. Couldn't right. say it. But I also want to note that, like, Garcelle said she doesn't feel included. She keeps yeah. saying, I don't feel included. And Rena mm-hmm. says, you feel uncomfortable around us. And Garcelle mm-hmm. says again, no, I don't feel included. But then Rena in the confessional says, we made an effort to make Garcelle feel comfortable. That's not what Garcelle said. It, like, these white ladies just don't listen.
And you don't have to make an effort to make anyone feel comfortable if you're just normal. The only thing you have to make an effort to is to make an effort to make someone uncomfortable.
Yes.
If you didn't make her uncomfortable, she would be comfortable.
Exactly.
By definition.
Exactly. Saying like, oh, I went out of my way to make you feel like a friend, sounds like then it's transactional. Then you yeah. want something out of this person. And then even her
not
saying,
not only that you had to try hard to do that. Like, you had yeah. to put extraordinary effort to do that. And it was not something that came natural and organically as it would come for everybody else.
And then Rena's super condescending because she's like, oh, she didn't even know that it was Kyle's birthday. I'm sorry. Nobody, that even that scene that they had put in.
It was Kyle's birthday. Did you know?
I didn't know it was Kyle's birthday. Yeah, I had no idea. Either. There was that one like like wonky scene that they had where they brought that cake to Erica's house and Rena did some of her best fake eating work. Uh-huh. Where they had brought a cake to Erica's house and Erica was in her pink sweatsuit vacuuming. Uh-huh. You remember uh-huh. that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was Kyle's birthday. That was the episode okay. with Kyle's birthday. Yeah. It's like, yeah. But even the scene that they put together of like, oh, it's Kyle's birthday? Like, she said it in a way of like, shit, I missed her birthday. Like, she wasn't yeah. saying it to be like, oh, I don't care about Kyle's birthday. She legitimately was like, oh, I didn't know her birthday. It's not yeah. that serious.
Yeah.
And also, Garcelle doesn't follow Kyle on Instagram. So it's probably why she doesn't know when Kyle's birthday
and
why, is.
When is remembering a birthday become a definition of how much you care about the person or not in a work situation?
No, and also, Rena threw Garcelle a birthday party.
Yeah.
Kyle didn't throw Garcelle a birthday party. Yeah. And Kyle just got on the gift that Crystal and Kathy were giving Garcelle. Yeah. So it's not like Kyle did anything extraordinary that would require Garcelle to then care about Kyle's birthday. Mm-hmm. We didn't see a Kyle's birthday celebration this season because correct. It wasn't really celebrated. So yeah. even that logic is bullshit. Her being like, oh, she didn't remember Kyle's birthday. No, Rena, you're just making stuff up. You're just being condescending and you're cornering this black woman mm-hmm. into a situation where she feels triggered to the point of tears. And then they all have these shit-eating grins on their face where they're like pleased that they finally got her to cry. And it's so triggering to me that people of color, especially women of color, especially black women, have to get to the point where they are in tears, where they are in hysterics to be believed. She said she didn't feel included. You should understand, you're women living in 2021 who have existed in the world. You're in your 50s, for God's sake. You don't understand what it feels like for a person of color to enter a room, especially a Black person to enter a room.
Why does she have to explicitly tell you all of this and cry before you guys even show 1 ounce of understanding? She doesn't need compassion. She just wants understanding. And she says, when I was at Kathy's house, I was upset, and not one of you asked me afterwards if how I felt.
That's the thing she keeps bringing up, and honestly, it kind of falls on Sutton too, because Sutton's not saying anything.
Yeah,
she's not backing up her friend.
The minute everybody was picking on Sutton and Erica was going at Sutton, Garcelle stepped in to support Sutton. The minute Garcelle did that, everyone turned on Garcelle.
Yep.
And Sutton didn't do anything.
Yep. Kyle says a really gross thing. She's like, I really like seeing her like this. She's so vulnerable. Like, you like seeing a woman cry on camera for her to be believed. Like, that makes you feel better. Dorit has the biggest smile on her face when she's hugging Garcelle. It's so gross. It's so gross. And I don't.
I was so mad that scene where they went after Garcelle, and Garcelle then had to explicitly tell them, I am often the, and she says, have you ever been in a place where you're the only one and you feel odd that you don't belong? And Kathy says, yes, yes, I have. And she's like, think about that all the time. Imagine that all the time. And even then Kathy is like, I'm glad you spoke. But then Kathy, you don't understand. You might have been the richest person in the room. That may be the only way you were the only kind in the room. But that is not the same as what Garcelle is saying. And you not want the fact that Garcelle had to explicitly say that and say that she was trying to fit in with these losers, but she doesn't have to. She's coming down to their level to fit in.
And
she
honestly,
is way
I wish...
above them. So I wish she hadn't said that she wanted to fit in with them. She doesn't have to fit in with them. She's on a whole other level. And the fact that they broke such a strong woman down and brought her down to their level is what made me so angry.
Well, you know what really bothers me is also, I have to say, like, with Garcelle, I wish that she wouldn't try to, like, fit in with these women. But she also, like, she's giving... It's tough, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know that you're going to be treated like you're aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Like that is the you go in with the best of intentions. You think, these are educated people. These aren't people who are going to treat me this way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in with the best of intentions, assuming the best of all these people.
Mm-hmm.
But then they behave in the way that white people often behave.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of at first pass, you go out of your way to then overdo it, right? Like, so Garcelle being so kind to Erica, helping Erica wipe her tears, saying don't cry, holding her, all that stuff. That's Garcelle giving her warmth, not just because she's a good person, but I think also because sometimes as people of color in those situations, you overcompensate and you try to be even kinder. And then when you get put in these situations where they still don't believe you, you're not just mad at them, but sometimes you're even mad at yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you're
I was seeing, like, when Garcelle was crying, I could see myself being in her position and having done the same thing. And I would be mad at myself for that. So when I'm saying I was upset about all of that. I wasn't mad at Garcelle. I was mad for myself. I was like, this is how I would feel. And this is probably how I would have reacted. And I wish Garcelle didn't have reacted like that. The same way that I would wish that after the fact, after I had a breakdown like that, I would have wished I hadn't done that. So I felt so much for Garcelle in that moment.
I felt like when she was crying, she wasn't just crying because she had to finally get broken down in this position to like explain it to these people. But I think she was also crying because she was like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yes.
Like, what am I doing trying to like fit in with these people? Why did I even say that I want to fit in with these people? You know, it's tough. And I think it's also frustrating as a person of color to have to say, you know, as a Black woman, but it's not about race, but it is about race. Like it's frustrating because then they throw that. Then they say like, oh, you're throwing the race card at us type thing, right? Like we just saw that in Salt Lake City where, of course, Jen Shah is exploiting the race thing to her benefit to excuse her bad behavior. But
it's frustrating because it's like, it is about race. Race is a dynamic here. You do have to think about race. This is why we talk about critical race theory. There is a lot that goes into these situations. And it's just stuff that like flies off the radar of white women. They just don't think about it. And I think that's the part of it that was like so frustrating. I mean, we're recording this episode on a Friday. I only watched this episode now, like maybe a couple of hours before we recorded. It was really hard. I knew I had seen all of the commentary online. I didn't want to watch it. It was I knew it was going to make me uncomfortable, and it did. It made me really upset. It made me really frustrated. And it's interesting because they will not put Crystal in that position because Crystal is, one, she's not Black. And Asian people, and we say this as Asians, Asians get a bit more of a pass. Than Black people, right? We know that. Quite a bit more of a pass. But also, Crystal's out of her butthole rich. She is, Kathy's the richest. Crystal's probably the second one. Hilariously, Sutton is number three, probably.
I heard that Sutton is not as wealthy, but I don't know.
Sutton's alimony is like $25 million.
So that's just alimony.
That's just alimony.
That's the number I heard. She probably has generational other wealth as well.
I don't think she has generational wealth, but I think that she has a lot of investments in like, well, she's probably got a ton of fucking assets.
She has a ton of shoes.
And she does. Did you see her on Watch What Happens?
I saw bits of it. What happened there?
So you saw that she said that she paid for Rinna and Harry Hamlin's $10,000 per seat at the Elton John fundraiser, and she never got a thank you?
Yeah. And then Rinna posted something about it.
Rinna has been posting. Rinna has she's lost her mind. She's so angry. And she keeps posting about it online. And it's very funny because every day, every few like posts, she's constantly still posting. I've been there. The funniest thing is like she keeps posting that she's been at Elton John's fundraisers before, but she's not refuting what Sutton said, which is like,
you didn't pay for it. She's not saying that you cannot afford it. She's just saying that time it was her.
And you didn't say sorry. You didn't say thank you. That's it. It's so funny. In one of the posts, she's like, it's really nice of Sutton to buy a table. Okay. Yeah. And Sutton's saying you didn't say thank you. That's all.
That's all.
But also at this trip, the ladies do a sound bath the next day. I wanted to ask you, why was there Desi music playing?
I know. There was like... I don't know why, because
it was like sitars and tablas.
Sitars and tablas, and that wasn't from the sound bath or whatever they went to. That was something completely different, and they because only we do all this kind of stuff, like we do, new age, or it's really old age if you think about it. We are more ancient than you guys.
We always talk about like who's behind the camera, who's editing this stuff, who's in production. It's like white people.
Why would you put Indian? And it was also Indian elevator music, really.
It was like the Indian music you listen to and like the lobby of like a wedding.
Bravo producers, editors, you know that we don't have that music playing in our homes at all times, right? It's not like you open the doors to a house and you have hear that.
It's like sitars and tablas the whole time you walk in. It's just constant sound. I'm shocked that we don't have it constantly playing in the back of our podcast. We really should. But Kathy is so relaxed, she uses it to take a nap.
As would I. So she just takes a nap. And then does she take another nap after that?
She's constantly napping. She's like, I was so excited. Kim Kardashian did it at her baby shower. All this stuff.
She got tired driving. The other thing I didn't understand is all of these women are going to the same place from the same place. They all came to Kyle's and then they left together in a caravan.
It was weird.
Why didn't they do the bus thing like every other time? And why did they each of them drive their own cars? I didn't understand it.
Why wouldn't you just, you could at least have gotten one of those janky party buses like Rojasos of Dallas.
I didn't quite understand. It was weird. Point. Why go to Kyle's house in the first place and why leave from there? I didn't understand all that.
I don't know. Now, Kyle and Rinna go to see Erica because Erica's gotten some news that Tom is going to be put into a home for dementia. And she gets really upset. She's like, where is this man's family? I'm like, I don't know, Erica. Maybe they left him like you left him. You literally, You literally divorce this man. You divorce this man despite knowing that she keeps saying, oh, you want to know who your friends are? Go old and broke. He went old and broke and you left him.
Right. And she's like, you know, you have to remember, we have to remember he took care of my grandmother. We have to remember this man. And we have to remember, like, who's the we? Why do we have to remember any of this?
Yeah, who's we?
So why do we have to remember? We have to remember he also took money from widows and orphans, subsidized your lifestyle. So, you know, fuck you.
And by the way, it's a lie. Tom's not actually in that facility.
Right.
And it's like we know that now. Also, all that shit is bullshit because we know that. We know that Tom is not in a facility. That's a fact. Mm. Everybody's reported on it. So what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And also, it's funny because she's like, you know, they left him now that he's old and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, she's literally projecting the shit that she did to Tom on his kids.
Yeah. You left him, woman.
Yeah. She left
him. She makes me so angry. Ugh.
I am excited for the next episode because apparently Garcelle and Sutton are going to be talking about Erica, and Erica is going to hear all of it.
I am so excited for it.
Oh my gosh, please. It was good. We have some time, so do you want to go to our Patreon and ask a question from our Ask Our Aunties section?
Sure.
Okay, we have one new question, and the asker has asked to remain anonymous.
Uh-oh.
Anonymous says, I'm going on a weekend away. Oh, by the way, this is from... I'm so bad at this. This is from our Patreon. We have a level called Ask Your Aunties where you can submit a question and we'll help you with whatever it is. We'll answer whatever it is, whether it's about us or life or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the question is, I'm going on a weekend away with three of my best friends. We have been best friends since school for over 15 years. We all love each other, but two of the group, let's call them Sarah and Jessica, are super close and make me and let's call her Beth feel awkward. So me and Beth are very close, but aware that Jessica and Sarah get into their own group and exclude us with little inside jokes, which changes the group dynamic and makes a weird vibe.
Fucking Sarah Jessica Parker.
What's the best way to navigate this? We also haven't done a group trip in over 5 years, and I'm nervous we'll end up hating each other. Help, please. You're the best.
I actually went through the exact same thing.
Yeah, me too.
A few years ago. And this is such a common thing to go through because I was doing a school reunion, college reunion, and it was like the last time we met was in New York City, and that was 10 years after we graduated, and this was like 15 years after we graduated via meeting. And there are a couple of girls in the group that are awesome when they are one-on-one with me. They're very really connect and they really share and we get into a connection. But the minute we are all in a group and those two come together, they go into their own vibe, and it's it's a little bit of all of a sudden they start acting like popular girls in school, and they start, their jokes are no longer self-depreciating. It is like putting somebody down or picking or making fun or picking up a joke that happened 20 years ago and you know, that kind of a stuff. And they get into this dynamic where me and my other friend that we are pretty close to, she is very, you know, at a point where she is like, the minute these two get together, I don't want to deal with the duo. I like each of them separately, but together it gets on her nerves, and she cannot hide her feelings. I can, but so she gets a little worked up about that. And at the end of the day, you have to, and this is what I had to do for myself, was to say, I'm beyond all of that bullshit. I'm beyond whatever they're reliving, their school days or whatever. And I am not. I'm beyond that. I'm more mature. Because the minute you fall into the trap and you notice it, you psychologically, you go back in time too. You go back to the time where the way you were before and how it affected you all these years ago, and that it's continuing to do so. So you have to know that you are in a very different place in your life.
Yes.
Accept it and let them do whatever the shit they do, but not acknowledge it and move on from there, and just have, and if it comes to a point where it becomes uncomfortable for you, at this point in time, you really have to think about, okay, this friendship has lived its life, and beyond this, it's not for me, and I need to move on.
Yeah.
And then just move on from there.
I think if I can give my feelings about this, is that I have that same thing happen where there's a group of us, there's usually four or five of us that always travel, like we'll travel together. Some of us are closer than other ones. We've been friends forever. And we do end up having a situation where certain groups are closer to each other. And me as a person who's sort of like a floater, I've always been a floater in my life in every same situation.
Here. Yeah,
I'm always friendly with everyone. So I don't take anything personal. Private experiences are a very real thing that can happen. Yeah. And I think that as a floater, I sometimes am protected by my floating, because then I don't get into private experiences because I don't hold on to one thing long enough. I like will move on to the next thing, right? Or like, I won't hold on to one interaction with one person long enough to get super upset, because the truth is I have private experiences all the time. And if I wanted to have one, it could take me 3 seconds and I could totally find, like, I always just think that everybody's annoyed with me. So the best thing to do in this situation is you have your two friends, Sarah, Jessica, and Parker, who are who are super annoying. And it's you and Beth who feel like you're probably feeling a little left out. One, make memories with Beth. Okay. Yeah. Make memories with Beth. Enjoy yourself with Beth. Keep yourself busy with Beth. But also, like, still remember that you are friends with Sarah and Jessica for a reason, right? Like, you love them. You're friends with them. They're closer to each other. But that doesn't mean that they're not also close to you. Mm-hmm. They are close to you.
Yeah.
You are still friends with them.
They're still hanging out with you and they want to be in the group. They could have done something by themselves and they're
exactly. not. Exactly. And so enjoy yourself. It's a vacation.
Yeah. And would you recommend to Anonymous that they should talk about it or not?
I don't think they should talk about it. No. There's no reason to talk about it. That's just the dynamic.
It's not anything good.
Yeah. The dynamic is a dynamic. They're closer to each other. Please don't talk about it, because then it's going to get really weird. Then it's going to be like,
it gets awkward. Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you see Anna? I'm calling Anonymous Anna. Did you see Anna? Can't believe that she like had to make it. Now you're going to give Jessica and Sarah even more shit to talk about and more time to separate themselves. So don't talk to them about it. Just accept that everybody's dynamic with everybody is different. Yours is different with other people. And I'm sure that there's people that even you're closer to. So enjoy your vacation. Get some nice headphones. Mm-hmm. Listen to a podcast when they start to get annoying. And make sure that you get time to relax, because that's what you're supposed to do on vacation.
Yeah. And have some goals for the vacation of, are you going to focus on yourself? Are you going to do some activities? Are you looking to go meet new people, see new places, experience new things? And when you focus on all of those other things, then you will focus less on the dynamics in the friendship.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you're looking for something emotionally from these two people who kind of break off, then that I would say something. But don't bring it up in the way to be like, oh, it's weird that you guys are close to each other. It like makes us feel left out. Like, don't say that, because like we just saw on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, sometimes people are closer to each other, but it's up to you as an adult to decide whether or not you want to continue to communicate with these people, right? It's like Garcelle said, I don't feel included.
Yeah.
But Dorit's reaction is the problem here, because Dorit is taking it super personally.
Yeah.
Think of it that way. Like, it's up to you whether or not you want to ruffle those feathers. And ultimately, you need to decide what is it going to serve you?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if this is really, really bothering you, and this is something that makes your vacation time, your downtime uncomfortable and causes more stress than it should, and maybe it's a time to take a small break and maybe do this group in small bits and pieces and not together.
Yes.
Meet with them one-on-one, but not really together.
Yeah. But remember that you guys are friends with each other and want to travel for a reason.
Yeah.
Try to focus on that.
I thought that was good advice.
I don't know if it was. We went on multiple journeys. Sorry, Anonymous.
Yes. you take pick and it's a la carte. So you pick and choose what you want.
Exactly. Well, we will talk to you guys on our 99th episode on Wednesday. And guys, next week, Vanderpump Rules is back.
Is that going to be our 100th episode?
Mm-hmm.
What a way to do a 100.
It'll be as good as gold.
As good as gold, yes.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Bye.
Now I have to talk.
Bye.
The reality is now on Patreon, and here are some of our fabulous supporters.
Tracy Newman.
My presence is a gift, so remember the thank you note.
Lily.
Some people say I'm too much, but she is just starting.
Marl Farsi.
Reading is fundamental, and in Farsi, the reads are monumental.
Tracy Masters.
When you're the master of your own destiny, no one can take you down.
Amanda Agosti.
Some Amandas are tech spots, but this Amanda is as real as it gets.
Ade Adedokun.
It may look like I'm stirring the pot, but actually I'm just smoking it.
Paula Betrude.
If you think I'm a bitch, you're probably right, and you probably deserved it.
Lola Del Rio.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, and I get it all.
Naveen Jonathan.
I'll give you the shirt off my back and also my unsolicited opinion.
Jada.
People are intimidated by my great success and my great ass.
Deepa Kanopoli.
Some people say I have secrets, but at least I have no federal indictments.
And finally,
Hadil Ibrahim. Some things are too hot to handle, like me and the tea I spill.